Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. We hope that you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. You will find all these radio programs, the TV broadcaster there, and a host of other Bible-related material in order to help you in your study of God's Word. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting times of our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We are looking at the subject, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. I'm trying to enlighten our listening audience to the reasons of why I'm a member of the Lord's Church and why I would try to encourage you to do some investigation in why you should be a member of the Lord's Church. Today, we're going to talk about the church was founded and there was only one church. Christ founded his church and there is only one. One of the reasons I'm a member of the Lord's Church, because it's the only one I can find in the Bible. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." How many did he promise to build? The word church is singular, not plural. In our society, we have a multiplicity of churches, around 1,500. It's difficult for people to grasp the oneness of the Lord's church, but that is exactly what Jesus promised to build, one. There is one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4. How many is one? One is one. In Romans 12, 4 and 5, there are many different offices in that body, but there is only one body. There are many members, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, but there is only one body. There is the body, and the body needs a head, and that body is the church, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. Let me read you that passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 22 and 23, to show you that the church and the body are one and the same. "And he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all." You see, he is the head of the body, that he has the preeminence in all things, Colossians 1, verse 18. And so, there is one body, and that one body is the church. "My Father is the vine dresser." That's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 1. Is God working in many different vineyards today? All claim to belong to God, but the truth is, can they? No, because God said that he is a vine dresser of only one. We can find this in John chapter 15. We're going to read John 15, verse 1 through 7. "I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burnt." Now, in this parable in John chapter 15, Christ is the true vine. Each redeemed are a branch. Each person that belongs to Christ is a branch. Is Christ a plurality of vines? No. With many different branches on each vine? No. There is only one vine, and that's Christ. And every saved person is a branch. Each are to bear his own fruit to the glory of God and his honor. Man's logic, Christ is the vine. All the denominations of the world are the branches attached to one true vine. That's how it's represented by many in the world. But is that correct? Who was Christ speaking to? He was speaking to his disciples. He wasn't speaking to about churches. He was speaking to his disciples. Read the context. "Abide in me." If you're not following his word, you cannot abide in him. "If any man," it's a person, not a church. He's talking about the individual. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Individual, not churches, individual. Such understanding does injury to this parable. Ever seen a fruit tree with watermelons, grapes, oranges, apples, and lemons on the same tree? You've never seen a tree like that. Remember the law of God. Each thing produces after its own kind. You're only going to find watermelons on vines that grow watermelons. You're only going to find apples in an apple tree. And you're only going to find lemons in a lemon tree. Why? Because that's the only thing that can grow there. Same way, Jesus is the vine. His Father is the vine dresser, and every branch is attached to the vine. Not denominations, individuals. Read the context. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Scripture says, I was delayed that I write to you that you may know how to conduct yourself in the house of God. The house of God is the family of God. How many families does he have? How many families does God have? Multiplicity or one? He has one. In Acts 16, 22-33, the jailer and his family were converted. How many families? Just one. God's family is his church, and his church is the family. God's the Father, Christ is the elder brother, and all the saved are his children. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. Can you see being a part of this one family, all wearing different names, all with a different set of rules, all claiming the same Father, all with the same elder brother, and all claiming to be joint heirs, but all following a different teaching, a different doctrine? God is no such father of this type of family. His family is united. It's in harmony. It's at peace. It does not contradict itself, and it does not go in many directions. Such a family does not exist with God's family. In John chapter 10, verse 16, the scripture says, they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Does this one shepherd have many flocks, or how many does he have? He has just one. Do you see many types of sheep, hundreds of flocks, and all having the same shepherd? The Lord has the same number of shepherds that he does flocks. How many flocks does he have? He has one. In prophecy, he was talking about the Jew and the Gentile. The two nations that were separated would now be united under Christ, and instead of being two, they would be one. Read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. This was what Jesus promised. And so he is the shepherd of one flock. He is not the shepherd of thousands of flocks. He's not the shepherd of all these thousand different religious entities that wear different names, teach different things, and follow different doctrines. He's not the shepherd of all of them. He's just the shepherd of his, the one that belongs to him, the one that he's the head of, the one that he established, the one that he purchased with his own blood, and the one that is in his family. There is only one. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The church is compared to the human body. The human body has many different parts, it has many different functions, but there is only one body. Christ is the head. All the redeemed members are working under the control of the same head. One body, one head. You don't have one body and then have many different heads. You just have one body and one head. We understand that in the physical, and the same is true in the spiritual. We need to understand that. The religious world today, what do we see? Hundreds of bodies, each claiming to have one head, and that head is Christ. This would be a great spiritual beast. The natural world knows of no such beast. Neither does the spiritual realm. This, again, is man's twisted logic in trying to get around the gospel of truth. Last, in John 17, what did Jesus pray for? I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. John 17, 20 and 21. What did Jesus pray for prior to his death? You know, when somebody's about to die, and he gives his last words, that tells you what's very important in that person's mind. What did he pray for before his death? That all the believers might be one. This destroys the unity and diversity, please, from the religious world today. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, The scripture says God is not the author of confusion. But that's exactly what we have in the religious world today. We have confusion, utter confusion. Why? Because all are trying to teach different doctrines, different plans, different understandings, and yet all claim to love the same God. It's just not possible, ladies and gentlemen. This would make our Lord guilty of hypocrisy. Was Jesus being sincere and honest when he prayed that for this oneness? What kind of man would pray to God and thank him for all the different churches and differing doctrines from which man can choose from? God didn't pray for that. His son didn't pray for that. Join the church of your choice? That's man's logic. Join the church of God's choice? That's God's wisdom. We can read 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10, that there be no division among God's people, in Philippians 3, 16, that we be of the same mind, the same judgment, and that we follow the same rule. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God wanted unity. He wanted unity, and to have unity, there is only one church. Does the Bible speak of plurality of churches ever? Yes, in one place. Romans 16, 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is with you and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Revelation 1, verse 4. But the word churches is used in both of these passages in the congregational sense. All churches of the Lord should have the same identity marks, practice the same things, and teach the same things from their pulpit. In closing, any honest person who can read, who can understand, and discern God's word has only one choice. Christ is the founder of but one church, and one church only. That being the case, if you desire to please God, go to heaven in the after a while, have your faithful obedience accounted to you for righteousness, then you better be sure that you're a member of this one blood-bought institution that Jesus founded. It's not a choice. You have a choice whether you accept Christ. You have a choice whether or not you accept to be part of his kingdom and to be part of his body. You have that choice. But you do not have the choice to attach yourself to anybody, any religious group, any religious organization, and then claim that their head is God, and also claim that they belong to Christ, and that you are following Christ, and you are attached to Christ, because that is not simply true. To be in Christ, you have to be in his family. To be in his family, you have to be in the body that he is the head of, and that body is the church. Ladies and gentlemen, we have read passage after passage that emphasizes the number one. What is one? That is one more than zero and one less than two. One. There is one church. There is one head. There is one body. And there is only one kingdom. Sadly, the religious world is trying to sell the bill of goods that there are many kingdoms, many churches, and many different ways of appealing and loving and serving God. Listen, dear listener, open your mind, open your Bible, and study the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells us that the church began on the day of Pentecost. It was designed by God, and there is only one. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it is the one church that was started at the right time, and because it has the right head, and that head is Jesus Christ, and he is the Savior of that body. Thank you for listening.